This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We have a couple of Roots Music performances for you on this July 4th with singer Tracy Nelson and blues and boogie pianist Marshall Ball. They each have new CDs. Let's start with Marshall Ball. One of the things Austin, Texas is best known for is music, and one reason why is Marshall Ball. In Rolling Stone, she was described as playing piano with a sort of rollicking spirit that can't be taught but must be felt. Her music is steeped in the rhythms of the Gulf Coast. She grew up in Louisiana on the Texas border and has lived in Austin since the early 70s. She's made several recordings. Her new one is called Presumed Innocent. We're going to hear an interview and performance recorded in 1998 at an onstage benefit for public radio station KUT in Austin, Texas. I asked Marshall Ball to describe the small town in Louisiana in which she grew up.
Well, I kind of did in one of my songs. It's 10 blocks square. I didn't realize this until I had left because it was my whole world for 17 years. My parents kept me pretty much right there in town, although there were honky-tonks all around and, you know, you'd go one town or another to shop or to go to a movie. But for the most part, we were in that town. And it wasn't until I had left town. And actually, I was running. I was jogging one day and I was standing on one street. And there was a sign that said Catholic Church, 8 blocks. And I thought, well, I'm on the westmost street, and that's only 2 blocks away from the eastmost street. So there's really only 10 blocks in this whole town, and that's how big it is.
Well, you have a song that I'd like you to play that I imagine is pretty autobiographical called Down the Road. And maybe you could do the song for us, and then we could talk a little bit more about that period of your life.
All right. It's an autobiography. Right. Good times are down the road, and mama won't let me go. I'm sneaking off in my daddy's car, and park behind the B&B bar, thinking I'll go crazy if I can't get out on a dead-end street in a 10-block town. One day I'll take the coastal bend, Gulf of Mexico, and drive on in down the road, down the road, down the road, down the road. Damp nights and a heavy heart, when will my real life start? I'm tired of six packs and driving shows and talking back to the radio. I got wheels and I'm ready to pack, holding me back. Every day I say I'm gone, and then every night I'm in the joints again. Down the road, down the road, down the road, down the road. Popping through the fog, a siren screaming on a one-lane street. I could hear it from my bedroom screen. Thin walls in a cheap hotel, people next door, they fighting like hell, and drinking whiskey from a paper cup, and watching TV till the sun comes up. Down the road, down the road, down the road, down the road. Chicken neck, smoking camels I stole from a pack, and watching crabs swimming in the trap, and wishing I could take the water away from Lake Charles on out to Galveston Bay, and keep on going to the open sea, wild like the wind and running free. Down the road, let the good times cars roll down the road. Let me free my soul down the road. I got to go down the road. Down the road. Down the road. Down the road. It seems so long when there's not a band there, and you know, people aren't dancing in front of you. People are actually paying attention.
Are you more used to people dancing than on a concert stage?
Yes.
How do you like the concert stage?
It makes me nervous.
Well, you sound good.
Not the thing.
So could you actually hear music coming out of the clubs from your window at home?
I lived across the street from the Catholic Hall growing up, and I had a real incredible moment of deja vu not long ago. I was in a vintage store, and I pulled this dress off the rack, and I thought, oh, God. It reminded me of Wednesday nights in the summer when you'd play outside. You're just on the cusp. You know, you'd play outside until you're just covered with grass and red bugs and little dirt necklaces and bracelets and everything. Then you'd run in, and you'd take a shower. It'd be so hot, or take a bath. You'd be so hot still. You'd still be sweating, and you'd put on this... This was this little cotton dress with a full skirt and rickrack down the front, just like one of those dresses that we put on, and go to the dance across the street.
Huh. So did you go through a period of, when you got out of your 10-block town, of going wild?
Yeah, in a way I did. I was in... I grew up in what I really think are the best of times. You know, a childhood in the 50s in a small town, and then growing up, coming of age in the 60s and, you know, in a college. I didn't go wild enough. I mean, I didn't go to Berkeley or anything. I didn't go to San Francisco for like some people I could name. But I did go to Baton Rouge to go to college, and I was only 17 when I went. And it was just, you know, the greatest time of free love and, you know, protest politics and no diseases that you couldn't cure with penicillin and, you know, available birth control, and even the drugs weren't as strong or as dangerous as, you know, as they are now. So,
but no,
we have the best cars, we have the best music, we just had that goofy clothes, which is real popular right now.
No, musically, my understanding is that before you started doing a lot of rhythm and blues, you were singing more, you know, quote, psychedelic music?
Yeah, yeah. Started out in a rock band.
What was your repertoire in your early rock band?
Well, I did a lot of Janis, or some Janis and some Grace Slick and some Jimi Hendrix. I sang a couple of songs. I did a Janis Ian song, and then a little bit of blues. We also, you know, Slim Harpo lived right across the river.
You said you never went to San Francisco, but you tried.
We broke down.
Tell us the story of what happened on the way to San Francisco.
Well, we got to Austin, and you know. Look at him. I know why y'all are here, too. We got here, there was a lot of interaction between Baton Rouge and Austin before I got here. To us, it really was the Third Coast. We were getting posters from the Vulcan Gas Company that looked just like the Family Dog posters and the mm-hmm. Fillmore posters that were coming from the West Coast and from New York, and there was a good music scene and already. And
did you figure out at some point that maybe there was already enough, like Grace Slick, and there was Grace Slick and Janis Joplin and a lot of people trying to be them, that maybe you were better off trying to figure out who you were? Or?
In a way, I did, and I'll be honest with you. I used to work here at the university. This is what I did that was the other reason I stayed, was that I had a friend who worked at the university and could get anybody a job in the library. So I worked here, and we would drive home, living in South Austin, same neighborhood I still live in, and we would be listening to the radio, and I guess it was probably 71 in the middle of all this, and Tracy Nelson would come on the radio. I think, damn, I can do that. That's what I want to do. So, yeah, I was already, kind of moving. And, you know, I picked up things from everybody along the way.
Would you do a few bars of a country song that you did in your country period?
You were mine for just a while. Now you're putting on the style, and you'll never once look back to your home across the track. You're the gossip of the town, but your heart can still be found where they tossed it on the ground. Pick me up on your way down.
That's a nice song. We'll get back to the onstage concert and interview with Marshall Ball after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the 1998 interview and performance with Marshall Ball, recorded onstage in Austin, Texas. Marshall Ball, I really love your piano playing as well as your songs and singing. So I thought we might start with the piano playing. How old were you when you started playing?
I started taking lessons when I was 5 years old.
Now, we hear the kind of music you play now. What were you learning when you were five?
Well, I started, you know, kiddie classicals like everybody does, but I had piano players in my family. My grandmother was a ragtime piano player and kind of came out of the Tin Pan Alley generation in that era. She had a window seat full of sheet music, and so I could
great.
Even pick out some of that and listen to her.
Now, you were born and grew up in Louisiana. What do you consider the regional rhythms or just a part of you living there?
Well, I actually was born in Orange, Texas. I want to go ahead and claim dual citizenship while I'm at it. And I grew up right across the state line in Vinton, Louisiana. And I don't accept that border. I don't give credence to that as the Sabine River as being a border.
And we are given this choice when we're born in this country to just ignore the borders.
I think that the Gulf Coast is a region and, you know, could be considered a state. The rhythm is, my favorite is the old 6/8, you know. You gave me love when there was none. Matilda, you know, that's a Matilda, you're the only one. Gulf Coast 6/8 soul sound.
What else do you consider unique to?
We had a lot of Zydeco and Cajun music, you know. Well, my sister got married at a very early age. Mama got her ready for a wedding day. Everybody came to see the beautiful bride. Like that, a good Cajun two-step, waltzes. Jolie Blanc type waltzes, and then the Zydeco.
Did you have teachers who taught you this, or did you just pick it up from listening to records?
No, and I picked up most of this as an adult, really, as a piano player in bands. I grew up, you know, listening to How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? And how my grandmother played.
Did they encourage you or discourage you or none of the above from playing rhythm and blues?
Well, that came later, I guess. You know, I loved to boogie woogie from the first time that I could hear that. I, you know, was trying to make my hands go the octave so I could, so I could try to do the octave into stride and, they didn't discourage me. I could always get out of doing housework by playing the piano.
So when you started playing rhythm and blues and seeking out more material, did you find songs that you felt comfortable with?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a wealth of material. I'm still amazed. I was talking to Tracy earlier about songs that I've dropped from my repertoire. Mm-hmm. Some things that I've never recorded, but just great songs that I don't do anymore just because, you know, you replace them with something else, but then you're thinking, it's Ease the Pain. That was the name of it. And I think it's Jackie Wilson. And it's not a gender thing. We were also complaining about how you know, sometimes when you're looking for a song, somebody say, well, you can't do that. That's a man's song.
Well, another thing that goes on.
Your pardon.
Well, particularly in some blues and rhythm and blues songs, there's some songs that just sound, well, really pretty sexist, and they were written, I think, in a time before people thought about that a whole lot. And I think you've kind of turned that on its ear a little bit. Like, you do a lot of the double entendre songs that other people have written, and you even came up with one of your own. And before you play the one that you wrote, talk a little bit about why you like doing songs like that. The songs that are double entendres about sex that don't come out and say it, but just tease about it a lot.
Well, it's just fun. And, you know, it's all about, in a way, you know, a lot of blues is, and I don't even get approached the old Jelly Roll type songs, you know. I've got a stack of CDs of old stuff. And that was one of the reasons when I did Let Me Play With Your Poodle, and I thought, you know, take it any way you want, but this record was released in 1942. And if they could take it, then I think we probably could too. And instead, I just get lots of pictures of people's poodles.
Why don't you play us the song that you wrote?
Okay. It's called The Right Tool for the Job, and I want to send... I'm going to send it out to my husband, who thinks a screwdriver is a special tool. When I go to eat my dinner, I reach for my spoon and fork. It's time to cut my steak, I make sure my knife is sharp. And when I want to hang a picture, I reach for a hammer and nail. And if I've got to clean the floor, I get out the mop and pail. I don't like to waste my time, I make sure I've got the right tool for the job. The right tool for the job. The right tool for the job. I want a car that goes real fast. And when I listen to music, I want the radio to blast. And if my house is burning down, get the fire truck real quick and take me to the finest doctor, y'all, if I start to feeling sick. I want an icebox that stays cold, a stove that gets real hot, the right tool for the job. The right tool for the job. The right tool. I want a fan that keeps me cool at night. A hum that always loves me right. The right tool for the job. The right tool for the job.
Marsha, would you explain the lyric to me? No. Marsha Ball recorded on stage in 1998 in Austin, Texas, at a benefit for public radio station KUT. Ball has a new CD called Presumed Innocent. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.